Welcome to Delight in Grace, the teaching ministry of Rich Powell, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. In the first chapter of Proverbs, Solomon writes that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's meaningful that in his old age, he wraps up the book of Ecclesiastes with the same motto. This is the conclusion of the matter: fear God and keep his commandments. Today's message, titled The Last Word, is the final message in our series on Ecclesiastes, titled Living a Good Life, Making Sense of the Journey. Let's listen in as Rich unpacks Solomon's final thoughts for us.
I like to browse through the headlines during the course of the week and see what's going on, and sometimes that's all I do is just browse, and I'll just read a headline. And one of the headlines that I read this last week is J-Lo is living her best life on a yacht with A-Rod. And unless you're up on the world of entertainment and athletics, you have no clue what I just said, right? What we're going to study today is the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes, which will pretty much falsify that headline. I mean, I'm happy for them. That's a wonderful thing that they can do that, but that is not the best life. The theme of Ecclesiastes has been to live a good life, making sense of the journey. You can have a lot of stuff and be enjoying a lot of temporary pleasure, but that doesn't mean you're able to make sense of the journey. And it certainly doesn't mean that you're living a good life. We're going to see what that means today as we come to the last word, the last paragraph of Solomon's treatise, Ecclesiastes. He begins by talking about communication. And this is what it has been. He has communicated very, very significant things in this book. And so it says, besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. Notice the distinction there between wisdom and knowledge. There is a difference. But what he's talking about is crafted communication. He's talking about the craft of communication. That communication is indeed a craft. Look at the words that he uses. Taught, knowledge, weighing, studying, arranging, great care. All of these words go into the craft of good communication. Good communication is work. It needs to be skillful. It also needs to be careful. In other words, it needs to be honest. It also needs to be very purposeful. Communication ought to be purposeful. Good communication is, in fact, impactful. If we were to read 1 Kings chapter 4, you would find that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and composed 1,005 songs. It says in 1 Kings that people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. It was recognized that the Solomon that wisdom communicated far surpassed all the wisdom of the ancient world. It's because it came from a very particular place. This came from the God who created him, the God of Israel. And so as he speaks of the craft of communication, he also speaks of credible communication. That's what it ought to be. As we are reading now from the inspired Word of God, we understand what credible communication is. It says, look at verse 10, the preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. Words of delight, it means that they appeal to one's desire and will. It's not just imparting information, it's just an information dump, but it's appealing to one's desire and will. But also he says he uprightly wrote words of truth. How important is that? And what does that mean? Truth is that he accurately represented reality. Else, the words are at best useless, or they even could be deceitful, leading one astray into self-destructive directions. So words of delight, words of truth, and then, as Dwight pointed out earlier, they are like goads. Credible communication prompts one to action. When you come to be under the teaching of the Word of God, when you study the Word of God, does it prompt you to action, or is it just gaining information? Do you know the saying goes that knowledge is power? Do you know that's not technically true? Knowledge acted upon is power, but knowledge itself is not power. And so the words, credible communication, the words are like goads, which prompts one to action. And then lastly, like nails firmly fixed, is the sense that they are dependable words. Nails firmly fixed. They're not shaky, they're not rattling around, they're not shifting. They are firmly fixed. It means they are dependable words. Why? Because they are given by one shepherd. That is a very important statement in this text. Given by one shepherd. In Genesis 49:24 and Psalm 80, verse 1, the Lord God is called the shepherd of Israel. And of course, David in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so this speaks of God's unwavering truth. Having discussed that now, Solomon goes into a warning here. I want you to consider this. Look at verse 12 with me. My son, beware of anything beyond these. What is he referring to? Well, he just spoke of the words that were given by one shepherd. And he calls us to critique communication. You and I receive all kinds of communication throughout the course of a day or a week. And we are called to critique that based on divine revelation. There are a lot of things that claim to be divine revelation. We need to know how to critique that. Solomon writes here, as these truths come from one shepherd, and he says, beware of anything, as he says, that is not these. Divine revelation is to be our standard because it is given from inspiration. Through inspiration, it is authoritative. His words are to be an authority in our life, meaning they are brought to bear upon our lives. And they are authoritative and true because they are an accurate representation of what is seen and unseen. Very important for us to understand that. So when we understand that we have God's revelation here, and he says, beware that you are heeding things beyond this, we are called to discernment. If you will, biblical discernment is what he's calling for here. Beware of anything beyond divinely revealed wisdom, because there is much coming at us that is touted as truth. Let me make a very important statement here, and I want you to get this. We don't determine truth. We recognize it. We don't determine truth. We recognize it. Now that flies in the face of the conventional popular wisdom that is going around today. But as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:6, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. Because that's what self-determined truth does to us. It creates division unnecessarily. Human pride. And so he says, in verse 12, as it comes to the end of verse 12, of making many books, there is no end. So there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of ideas coming at us, and much study is weariness of the flesh. I know that. You pay me to study. Thank you. It tires me. It does. I will come into my office, and partly because, you know, what's going on with my eyes and stuff, you know, so when I'm at my desk, I take my glasses off and I'm like this, and then I turn around, look at the computer, I logos on the computer, I'm researching and things like that, and I'll be looking at and my desk down like, and have my glasses off, and somebody comes to my door, and I look up like this, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, were you sleeping? Yes, that's what they pay me to do. Come here to the office and sleep. And I'll get home and Andrew says, Rich, you look tired. I says, I am. This exhausts me. But it's worth it. But when he says much study is weariness to the soul, what he's talking, he said this back in chapter 1, verse 18. What he's talking about is when you study so much, you can become overwhelmed at the condition of humanity and the myriad attempts to explain it. And it can be exhausting. It's very, very weary to the soul, in fact. And that's why we are called to critique communication. So he speaks of the craft of communication, which this treatise has been. It is looked at. It has been referred to from broad places throughout history. This is a tremendous piece of communication. It is a craft. But we are called to discernment, to know what is true, what is right, based on divine revelation. Because it is credible communication, this is. And so he then comes to the grand conclusion of the whole book. He says in verse 13, the end of the matter, all has been heard. After all that can be said, after all that you've listened to, all the information you can gather, everything that can be said by anybody, he said, it comes to this. At the end of the day, here's truth. This is how you make sense of the journey. This is the concluding word. It's what must be remembered. And of course, probably the most well-known line from the book of Ecclesiastes is, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And for some people, that's what they think of when they think of the book of Ecclesiastes. When I told people I was going to be expositing the book of Ecclesiastes, we had pretty much two responses to that. On the one side, they said, oh, that book's kind of, you know, it's just, I can't figure it out. And then there were others like, wow, that's my favorite book. I'm like, really? And I was wondering why, you know, but there's been tremendous unpacking and discovery from this book. Notice that his conclusion is not, all is vanity.
Thanks for joining us here at Delight in Grace. You've been listening to Rich Powell, the lead pastor at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. The Delight in Grace mission is to help you know that God designed you to realize your highest good and your deepest satisfaction in Him, the one who is infinitely good. We hope you'll join us again on weekdays at 10 a.m.